This podcast is brought to you by the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, your community foundation, which is focused on one simple goal: to help philanthropists pursue their causes for bettering the lives of people in Louisiana. Welcome to another episode of The Pod. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and today we have the pleasure to have a conversation with this year's Ernest J. Gaines Award winner, Jacinda Townsend, to discuss her award-winning book, Mother Country. We celebrated Jacinda at an award ceremony on January 19th at the Manship Theater, and she had the opportunity while in town to share her story with many across the community, including school children. Keep listening to learn more about Jacinda and about the annual Gaines Award hosted by the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Jacinda, welcome to the pod.
It is an honor to be here, Chris. Thank you.
So this is your first visit to Baton Rouge.
Yes, I've been to New Orleans twice, but I had never had the pleasure of being here. I want to say, first and foremost, the food is better here.
Oh, wow. So. That's newsworthy. But you experienced king cake, because we are in carnival season.
Yes. So I had two different king cakes from two different bakeries, I will say. I got the piece with the baby, and that was my favorite part, was the little baby.
So you're coming back and buying the next one,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. My pleasure.
Well, first, just congratulations on being this year's Gaines Award winner. We're going to get into that prize, but I want to know, and for our audience to know a little bit more about your background, because it's very unique how you came to be a writer.
Well, yeah, sure. So I can start at the start. When I was a little kid, I was kind of dreamy. And I was a little kid, you know, I was telling the school kids I talked to yesterday, not only did we not have the internet, but TV ended at 10 o'clock. That was it, you know? And so I read a lot. And I think, too, because I grew up in a really rural area in Kentucky, books were my only way of knowing about the world beyond. And I got really sucked into books and reading. And I kind of, you know, I was one of these little dreamy kids who wrote a lot. Actually, I wrote a lot of stories when I was little. I lost track of that. And, you know, something I also told the students is that when I was a kid, nobody ever told me, you know, you can actually have a life in the arts. You can make a life in the arts. I think we still dissuade kids from doing that.
Yeah.
And so I lost it a little bit. I went to college and majored in political science, became a lawyer, had every intention of sort of returning to Kentucky, going into politics, actually, which, you know, my end. I have ended up doing that. But that was, I didn't intend to. But I got my law degree, and I was practicing in New York, and I lived with an actress, and she was, she had some small roles in commercials and on a soap opera, but she was kind of the first role model I had for the idea that you can make a life in the arts, so you don't have to be Beyonce, but that doesn't mean you're going to starve. So I decided to go back and get my MFA, and then life turned really magical. I got a fellowship to Cote d'Ivoire, a Fulbright, and started writing novels at that point. So here I am.
And here you are, and the winner of this year's Gaines Literary Award. What is this award? And this is our 16th award. So you really follow an incredible group of younger authors who are now going on to such incredible works and accomplishments. What does this award mean to you?
Oh, gosh. It means so much on so many levels. I mean, first of all, the award itself is such a big deal. I think every Black writer knows about it. A lot of just every other writer knows about it too, you know. But also the Gaines book, A Lesson Before Dying, was pretty much one of the first books that made me really think I want to be a writer and I want to make a life doing this. And it's because it had such a strong social justice sort of message. And it's also one of the books that made me understand, like, here's how you do this. Here's how you step outside of your skin, step into someone else's skin, absorb their experience, come back into your skin and transmit that to the world. And the importance of that is paramount to me because I am one of these people that thinks art should serve. Mm-hmm. I think it's also such an honor to be getting this award from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, because what I've discovered in my week is that you all do such good work in the community. There is so much work that BRAF is doing that is just essential. And so to be a part of that mission is just a huge honor for me.
Well, the honor is all ours. You are an incredible writer. And your book, Mother Country, as we've talked a little bit, started, was inspired from some personal experiences. But, you know, ultimately, it's really a story of two mothers, one who sort of illegitimately attempts to become a mother and sort of the thinking about that. Talk to us about the sort of inspiration of that book and what it means to you.
Sure. So this isn't too much of a spoiler for your listeners, but because this happens in the first chapter. There is a woman named Shannon who does, in fact, kidnap a child. But I always want to defend her because, you know, she's a little bit like Lando Calrissian and Star Wars. She has problems of her own. A major one is that she is struggling with infertility. She's married to someone who, like Henry VIII, wants a child. And so when she sees this child and figures her for unattended, she thinks she might actually be doing her a favor. What that came out of is kind of, and I've talked to you a little bit about this, when I had my two children, I thought that childbirth was going to be this beautiful, wonderful moment, you know, where like Bambi would come out of the woods and talk to me, and that's not at all what it was. One of them was an emergency C-section, one of the other one was also a C-section, and I felt like I had failed at the critical moment of becoming a mother. And it took me many years actually to recognize that what happens biologically means nothing compared to all those moments of parenting that come after that moment. So, but I spooled this out in my head and I thought, okay, so how long does it take you to feel like someone's proper mother if the way you came by that child was just completely outlandish? So I came up with the idea of a woman who had kidnapped a kid. The other part of the story, there's another character, Saria. Her child is the one who was kidnapped. She has escaped modern-day slavery in Mauritania, and she's in Morocco with no papers, having a life that is, one could describe only as harrowing, very challenging life. Her story came out of some work I did in Mauritania in 2013. I was working on a story about women in development, and I met a woman working for an organization called Save Our Slaves. What I learned is that 20% of the Mauritanian population is enslaved. It is slavery that is as brutal as any slavery in history. And it's really hard to escape because, to give you some idea of what Mauritania is like, when I arrived, I found out pretty instantly there's like one paved road in the capital city, and that's about it. All the rest of the roads are sand. There was one ATM in the whole country. Mm. It was broken while I was there. So my dad actually wired me the money. I had to be escorted to the bank because I'm a woman. It's a really geographically isolated country because most of it is in the Sahara. And so there's one state-owned television station. There's very little information that gets either in or out of that country. And so slavery kind of flourishes there. So that is the background of Saria's story.
You're writing, what struck me is, because of your experiences there, just how descriptive you were able to paint that landscape. And I think for me, it helped transport me to a different place that I've never been in, you know, that regard. How important was that to you, of sort of also reconnecting with the place you had spent so much time?
Absolutely. So, and I think this is true of Morocco too. So much of culture there is sort of geographically determined, as I think it is everywhere, right? I grew up in Kentucky, and so much of our culture is determined by the fact that mountains become impassable at some points and people just never leave them. But so much of Moroccan culture is informed by the difficulty of life in the desert. And so I wanted to sort of make the landscape into a character in and of itself and sort of give the reader some idea of how difficult this all was, especially for the woman who has escaped slavery. And she's lost. She's adrift. She's illiterate, which was kind of a real challenge to write. Although that not that much of a challenge because I'm also in Arabic illiterate. Yeah. So it was that was an interesting exercise in, okay, well, I know these things, but I actually don't know how to read them in Arabic, right? Right. It's very interesting to write that.
This week, as you were meeting with students across in Pointe-Coupee here in East Baton Rouge Parish, you had the chance to kind of talk to them about using their voice. And this is something that, you know, as you, as a young child, were thinking about how to do that. What sort of messages were you giving them about the importance of using their voice and how to really find it and express it?
Sure. So returning back to what I said about, you know, art as service mm-hmm. and art that is in service of sort of amplifying voices that aren't heard, actually, I think there are so many of them who need to tell their stories, who need to tell other people's stories. You know, one thing that kind of drove me to write this book is that when I was in Mauritania and I did meet a family who had escaped slavery, this woman was living under some really challenging circumstances. She's living in a tent at the edge of the city. She had 8 kids. One of those kids was born on their way out of the desert during the escape. And I got to hold that kid and it was the most oh, wow. powerful feeling because it was this is the first person in that family to be born outside yeah, of slavery, free. You know? And I asked her through the interpreter, I said, you know, what can I do for you? And she said, just tell my story, please tell my story. And the importance of that, you know, the importance of thinking about somebody who is in effect voiceless for so many reasons, and then I get the honor of telling that story, that's really important. And I think everyone has that. Everyone has a story that is either theirs to tell or someone who needs their voice amplified to sort of communicate that. It's really important to me.
It was incredibly inspiring, I think, for these students to see you and know that, you know, the world you're talking about probably is beyond most of a lot of our understanding of what is, but bringing those stories back home and amplifying it is so critical. You mentioned, and I want to get a little bit into kind of your other side of your life, because not only are you now an accomplished author, you've decided to put yourself into public service. So how did that decision come about? And why was it important for you to also have that as part of your life?
Sure. Thank you so much for this question. So it was a complete accident. I always joke with people, this is like an accident that has now spanned several years of my life. But I was, the first time I was on a school board, I was actually appointed. And the reason I was appointed is because there was an application process. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, I just have these things that I want to go to the meeting and say. And I went and I said it. And then the next day I got this phone call. We decided to appoint you to the school board. And I was like, I actually burst into tears because I was like, okay, but I didn't mean that.
You caught the bus, quite literally.
Exactly, exactly. But once I was on the school board, I understood just how important that is. You know, it's every decision that we make as a board affects 17,500 students and 4,000 employees. And, you know, and people, I think it took me until I did that to really understand that this thing about the butterfly wings is so true. And that there is, and, you know, the upside of it is that there is so much that you can accomplish for your community. You know, I'm really invested in children and really invested in education, as I know you are as well. And, you know, just the idea that one vote, one little 10-minute school board vote can do such powerful things for people. It's become kind of a passion of mine to stay involved in public service, no matter how. I hope it's not forever as president of a school board, but in some way I will always be invested.
Well, I mean, I love that because it, similarly with your writing, I mean, it is putting it out into the world and you don't know all the lives you touch, all the maybe moments of pause it gives to someone else to say, you know, I never thought of it that way, or I'm struggling with the same maybe feeling of inadequacy, but really you shouldn't be. And this gives you some hope to sort of find your way through someone else's story.
Yes. Yes, Miss Lynn Mitchell, who has sort of organized all the school visits, she asked me yesterday a funny question, or one of the students asked me, do you think you'll ever go back to Mauritania? And she said, I don't think she'll be allowed in the country. And I said, you know, I kind of hope not. Like, I hope that this has had that kind of effect, you know, so one can dream.
Well, I'm also looking forward to your maybe a future book about your experiences in schools and school boards. I think it's interesting how these ideas get sparked. You being in Baton Rouge, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I wonder if you would mind sharing your impressions of this place of where you visited. I know you had the chance to actually go and visit the homestead of Ernest Gaines. So talk to us a little bit about those experiences here.
That was so powerful to go to Poincaré Parish and see not only his house, but the one-room schoolhouse chapel where he was educated. The tree that kind of inspired the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. That was incredible to be there and know that that's been there for 500 years of people's sort of prayers and stories and emotions. It was amazing. So all of that has been completely amazing. Being here has been wonderful. There's a saying in Morocco among people who come, expats who come, that they're so hospitable, you have to beat them off with a stick. But I think the same is true of Baton Rouge. You all have fed me in a way that I have never been fed. I have discovered my mother didn't actually feed me, but you all have fed me. But not only literally, but figuratively, this place has, it's been really special. I have seen a lot. Yesterday, we went to Baton Rouge Youth Coalition and to see the work that is being done in this community around issues of education and to sort of afford people opportunity makes me know that this is a place where things are progressing, things are happening, you know, conversations are being had, and I am just, it was such a pleasure to be here and witness all of that.
And you come from very similar, I mean, university town that's, you know, both cosmopolitan in its ideas, but small enough that you can get big things done, especially if we start working more together. And I know in your public service hat, that's got to be a draw to stay civically involved.
Yes. And so this was also is very inspiring, you know, to me. And I'll return with ideas, actually. So thank you.
and some king cake. I wonder, in our last few minutes, how do you think about going forward, the success of an award like this and then the well-deserved notoriety, what do you feel now about your next set of works and the ideas going through your head?
Actually, I love that question because this award came at a point where I had gotten pretty demoralized about my third novel. And I think all writers, I don't care who they are, they're lying if they say they don't get to this point. But you get to this point in a novel where maybe you hear back from your agent or an editor and you're kind of like, why am I even bothering? And so to know that I had been at that place with this book too, with Mother Country as well. And it is just, it made me kind of keep going. I mean, I'm writing now with kind of a much fresher idea of where I'm going. And also just to be in the company of those other 16 writers and to know that I'm in such great company has really kept me going as well. Because writing is a very solitary thing, right? But when you win an award and you get to spend time in community with people, that is putting the good stuff back in.
Well, we definitely want more from you. Is there anything you can share about some of the next books that may be coming from you?
Sure. So I'm working on two kind of simultaneously, which I usually don't do. But the third novel is called James Loves Ruth, and it's about a woman whose father is killed in an instance of police brutality in California in the late 80s. She then changes her identity and moves across the country to Kentucky. When the novel opens, she has filed for divorce under her old name. So the novel's kind of about her confronting her grief in a more productive way, but also that her husband now has to rediscover who she really is. And then the fourth novel, I'm working on a novel. It's my first kind of attempt at magical realism, and it's about a guy who's terminally ill, but in a way that's not necessarily going to lead to what we think of as death. And that's about all I can say right now.
Well, we're going to look forward to that. Jacinda, if folks want to learn more, which I know they do, about your works, how can they find out and learn more?
Sure. So I am at jacindatownsend.com. That's JacindatownsendCom. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, we are so grateful for you spending so much time in our community sharing both this book in particular, but frankly, your spirit and advice and inspiration to our students and community members. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much.
For more information about Jacinda and her book, Mother Country, please visit Jacinda Townsend, JacindatownsendCom, to learn more. As always, thank you for listening in. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and our mission is to elevate the stories, people, and ideas making Baton Rouge and the world a better place. Until next time. To learn more about the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, please visit our website at braf.org and become a member today.